When I get stuck, when I feel unmotivated, I always like to have targets. I'm a goal-oriented, target-oriented individual. And so to me, the first step I do is I try to establish a target. And to me, that's a top and a bottom gap. You know, I try to establish what is my top-line gap, what is my bottom-line gap, and then I kind of work from there.
We've been misled to believe that dentistry, more specifically the dental business, has to be complicated. Dentistry can be simple, and dentistry should be simple.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Dentistry Made Simple podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Tarun Agarwal, and this is our...
Are you going to put in the number of how many podcasts we've done together?
I have no idea anymore.
I don't either. Millionth.
And this is our amazing co-host, the very pregnant, who is now into maternity clothes. Is that what you said to me?
Well, yes, but they're not really maternity. They're just bigger sized clothes.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I'm 30 weeks, so I think that's safe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Really? That far along? Is that a long way? That's like 2 months away, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, this time, this maternity leave will give you 2 weeks off. It's your second kid.
Well, the problem is I was trying to schedule for Friday to come back by Monday like last time, and they're trying to schedule me on Monday. I'm like, that doesn't work for me.
Yeah, Monday's a better day for you. We don't do a lot of classes on Monday. All right, everybody. So this week, have you ever felt stuck, lack of motivation, don't even know where to start? You know, you're doing good, you're not doing good, just feel like this whole like blah feeling. Well, in this week's episode, I want to talk a little bit more about that, is how to overcome, how do I overcome being feeling stuck? How am I coaching people to become unstuck? And that's kind of what we want to talk about.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about how this, I think kind of people wonder how this comes up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you just roll over one day and you're like, I feel stuck.
Well,
I do actually.
Wait, the way my arthritis is feeling these days, I do kind of feel stuck a little bit.
But you mentioned like being on coaching calls and kind of talking through things. And when do people, you know, kind of feel this way, and how do they get the momentum to get out of it?
Yeah. So first is, I feel these same problems, okay? It's not like I'm sitting high and mighty and I don't have anything wrong, and there's plenty wrong in my life, there's plenty wrong in my practice, but there's plenty right in my life and there's plenty right in my practice. And the probably the bigger difference is I have a different mentality, I have a different outlook. I've been raised with a small business mindset, which is very different from a corporate business mindset. And I've been around long enough, and I've been working with so many different people that I've run into lots of different things. And, you know, right now I'm coaching roughly almost 60 offices around the country. We're getting ready to onboard another 18 offices in January. Side note, quick sales pitch. We are now taking applications for July 2025, if you'd like to join the mastermind. But, you know, it gives me amazing insight into kind of all of these things. And what was happening with one of my coaching calls just actually yesterday afternoon was I was talking to somebody. He's like, you know, I made great progress. You know, we're almost doubled our practice. But I'm like, where do I start? And I, you know, the premise was, I said, you know, honestly, you know, the challenge you're facing is that first bit of growth is honestly relatively straightforward. Meaning that it's just fine tuning a few case acceptance processes. You'll get low hanging fruit. You'll get that better. But then the real hard work starts. Is like, hey, I've taken care of the low hanging fruit. Now, kind of, where do I go? And this is not an uncommon occurrence when you go from being a mom and pop shop, a DFB, a drill, fill, build dental practice. You know, with four or five, that's Dr. DFB, you know, you go from being one doctor, four or five, maybe even six team members. I think that's, personally think that's too much for one doctor. But you go from one doctor, four or five team members, and then suddenly you become a two doctor practice, eight, nine team members. And really at that point, it becomes time to professionalize your business. And most of us don't understand. I remember the first time somebody said, it's time for you to professionalize your business. I took great offense to it. I was like, what do you mean? I'm professional.
I'm a professional. I can just hear you now.
Yeah, you can, you I mean, it's literally what I mean, I didn't say it out loud, but that's what I was
you
thinking.
You might have.
That's what I was thinking.
I wear athletic wear. I'm a professional.
I wear golf clothes to work every day.
What's a lap coat?
So, that's literally what I thought he meant. Like, you need to, you know, wear logo scrubs, polish. And that's not at all what this gentleman meant. And what he meant was professionalize meant like, hey, it's time to run this like a real small business, not a solopreneur business. And when you look at businesses, and I'm doing the bob and weave like one of our presidential candidates. I'll bring it back. I promise I won't forget like the other presidential candidate. I don't know.
You can't breathe.
I can't help it. It was so close. And all I hear on my TV is these stupid presidential ads. I'm done. I'm tired. Just vote somebody and let's get on with our lives. But anyway, bob and weaving back in is... You know, there's kind of, I break it down to this three types of businesses. There's the solopreneur, the DBA, the, you know, like literally a mom and pop shop, which is how most individual practices run.
Start,
but that's how they run for a long time. Yes. Then there's a true small businesses, which is how most of us should be running. Okay. And then there's, you become a corporate or a larger business. And, you know, each one of those has different skills and, you know, different ways we do things, and we can get away with different things. And what I've learned is that as we get larger, the need to professionalize or start treating our practice like a small business, which is what it is, becomes more and more critical to long-term success and growth and sustainability. And so that's where this conversation led. And his question, you know, what he said to me is, I never thought of myself as a business. I've never approached it as a business. And I said, well, great. Let's ask some questions. Let's think about some things and let's kind of start going down that path. And that's really some of the beauty of being able to work with dentists that I love. I love when I get dentists, when we get to this phase, to me, then the fun starts, is really kind of transforming things at that point. I said to Eric, you know, what is your top line plan? And then he said this, and I go, well, where'd you come up with that number? He goes, it's a little bit more than last year. I go, well, that may or may not be the number. And then I said, what's your bottom line goal? And he said, I really never thought about that. So to me, when I get stuck, when I feel unmotivated, I always like to have targets. I'm a goal-oriented, target-oriented individual. And so to me, the first step I do is I try to establish a target. And to me, that's a top and a bottom gap. You know, I try to establish what is my top-line gap, what is my bottom-line gap, and then I kind of work from there.
Yeah.
Did I bob and weave that back in really well?
Yeah. So you mentioned the gap. You mentioned that a couple of times, but kind of share with like the listeners what that gap is.
Yeah. Okay. So when I refer to the top gap, that's revenue in my practice. And I look at revenue as what should I be doing? And I paused and emphasized the word should there on purpose. There is a what would I want to be doing? What do I need to be doing? And I kind of start with what should I be doing? And to me, it's very formulaic and to kind of to really just boil it down is I take a look at my total team costs, not including dentists. So hygienists, front office people, clinical assistant people, outsourced team members. If you're using an outsourced service, I look at all of those things.
Like a billing company.
Like a billing company. Yeah. That's pretty common these days.
Or a marketing company.
Marketing is a little bit different.
Okay.
But the billing.
The management fee.
But we'll talk about that in a second. Okay. So let's look at the human beings.
Okay.
All of those things that it takes to run my practice without marketing. Okay. I look at the total cost of that. Total cost being what I pay them, what I pay the government for the right to have them, what I pay for all the costs, their benefits, all of those things. Once I get that cost, I then multiply that by. I want that cost to be somewhere between 20% or 25%. Okay. And so I multiply that cost by either 4x or 5x, and the starting point is 4x, and then I work towards 5x, and that gives me what I should be doing. Because an industry standard is, broadly speaking, if you can keep your team overhead at 25%, you will run a healthy business. Now, that doesn't always hold true, okay?
If you have spending problems.
If you have personal and or practice spending problems, or if you're early in your career and you have lots of loans and you're in this large technology acquisition phase.
Growth phases come and go.
So those will kind of change that a little bit. But by and large, broadly speaking, if you can keep your team costs in that 25% ballpark, you are well on your way to establishing a healthy practice, a healthy business. So that's my top line revenue. So I say that's what I should be doing. And then I take a look at the actual, what am I doing? And I identify a gap. And almost always, 90% of the time with all the practices that we're working, and probably more than 90% of the time, there is a gap there. In other words, I should be doing, I'm making up the number, 100 grand, I'm doing 80 grand a month. Should be doing 100, I've seen cases where I should be doing 250 a month and I'm doing 160, 170 a month. Okay, so we identify that gap. That's my top line gap, my revenue gap. Now the bottom line gap is, what should I be making? And this one gets a little bit more complicated, but I've talked about it here before. But what should I be making starts with two things. What I should be making as an employee/associate of my practice. Okay, so that would be the going market rate for an associate. So anywhere from 25 to 35%, typically around 30%. That's what I should be making as the employee. So if I do, I'm again making up numbers. If I do $1 million a year in production/collection, adjusted production collections, then I should be paid $300,000 as the employee associate of the practice. And then what should I be making as the business owner for the risk of running a business? In other words, look, I take a risk every month. You know, it costs me roughly around $250,000 a month to run my business, okay? And so if I take the risk every month of potentially going in the hole $250,000, then I deserve to earn a reward for that risk, okay? And so the number that we shoot for, that we consider healthy, is a minimum of our initial goal of around 15% net business profit. Where I'd like it to get to is the 20% ballpark, and I'd love it to be 25%. I think that's maybe later stages of career we can get to that 25% ballpark, but I think in most stages of career, that 15 and 20 number, 15% business profit or shooting for 20% business profit, that's what I should be making. So for example, if I have $1 million practice, okay, then I should be making roughly 200 grand, 15, sorry, I should be making somewhere between $150,000 to $200,000 for the risk of owning that practice. Now, the reality is, in today's world, $1 million practice is probably not going to spit out 15 to 20% net operating income, okay? It's probably not going to. It can, but it's probably not going to, okay? So that's kind of, That allows me to identify a top line gap, which is a revenue number, a bottom line gap, which is a take home number, which has two components. And so I bobbed and weaved my I don't know why I'm talking bob and weave today, but I bobbed and weaved my way around to identify those gaps.
Yeah. So we talked about what the gap is, but I think what a lot of people are interested in is once they have those numbers, how do they reverse engineer or how do they find those numbers of, to hit their gap into, I guess, make the gap smaller.
So,
or hit it.
I hope you all re-listen to this episode. I hope you take a pause at some point in time and you do this exercise. I'm highly encouraging all of our mastermind.
Well, they also get a spreadsheet that automatically calculates it for them. So but it's not that hard.
No, but I also am trying to force them to do some strategic planning, which we talked about in maybe the previous episode or a couple of episodes ago. But, the beauty of the mastermind is I'm helping them through that. After they do the initial one, I won't just help them do it from scratch. I want them to struggle and go with it and then come to me with something. So once we get there, then we'll work through them with that. Okay. But back to the question, which is, now that I've identified the gap, the top line gap, the bottom line gap, the question is now, how do I close that gap? Number one, don't get freaked out. Okay. You're probably living a pretty good life. You may or may not need to close the gap. I'm that person that likes to close the gap. I want to be a performer. I want to continue to grow. I don't want to live a good life. I want to live a damn amazing life. You know, I want to have financial freedom. I want to have the ability to be able to quit before I have to quit, before I'm forced to quit, you know? And so for me to do those, I got to close the gap. That's the step to get there. Okay. So when we have a gap, what I'll say, and look, again, there's lots of different ways to look at this, but what I'll say, there's typically three areas where I kind of grade myself on the gap of closing the gap. One is my team abilities. Let me go through them and then we'll kind of dive into each of those. One is my team abilities. Two is the practice clinical capabilities. And then three, the patient flow. Okay. So in other words, what I'm looking at, let me repeat those. Your team ability, the clinical capabilities, and your patient flow. Okay. So, you know, step one, which is what we focus really hard on within the first 6 to 12 months of Mastermind, is team ability. Okay. To me, that really boils down to a case acceptance process. Okay. Leadership. You know, can, you know, a case, do we make it easy for patients to buy? You know, do we have a good process in place of how we bring patients through our office? Do we have a good process in place of how we make patients aware of what's going on? Do we have a good process in place of how we communicate in patient languages? Do we have a good process in place of how we make it affordable for people to buy things? And do we have a good process in place of how we schedule patients? And that's your team abilities. And then aptitude, attitude, culture, kind of all of those things. You know, in other words, am I surrounded by people that will help get me to whatever promised land I'm trying to get to? I'm still trying to figure it out, okay? But do I have the right people around me? And sometimes, I want to be clear with everybody. The right people 2 or 3 years ago may not be the right people today, and that's okay.
Or in the right position.
No, or in the right position.
Right, but the seats on the bus.
But you know, it's okay. Sometimes we feel this, and I want to be loyal. I'm a loyal human being.
Yeah, that's coming from someone who has multiple employees. Like, how many years has Liz been there? 14?
17.
Oh, my God. Lynn, Megan's at 14, I guess.
Yeah, Megan's at 13, 14. Yeah. You're almost at 10. Yeah. You know,
January.
I'm loyal to people. I want to be loyal to people, and I want to give everybody, I don't want anybody to ever leave me, but I also want them to grow with me.
Right.
And to grow in the right direction for themselves and the right direction for the practice, for the businesses. Right. Okay. So I just want to prepare you that when you evaluate this, you will find that some of your longest tenured people, the people that you love the most, aren't going to get you to the next step.
And they're probably the hardest to move.
Yeah. And so sometimes you have to have difficult, tough conversations with people. You got to be able to confide in them. You got to be able to have those conversations. But that's, again, I don't want to digress
too much.
We could
probably do a whole episode on that.
So your team abilities. The next one was your clinical capabilities. In other words, if my gap is, I'm making up, again, let's say my gap's $25,000 and I'm a drill, fill, build dentist. Literally, I do crown and bridge fillings, and that's all I do. Closing that gap is not going to be easy. Okay. Closing that gap is going to be complicated, you know? And so we have to look at our clinical capabilities and what services do we provide? How efficient or effective am I at these services? You know, we have to, you know, this last part, this reverse engineering the gap, evaluating your team, evaluating the clinical capabilities, evaluating your patient flow is a little bit easier, but evaluating your team and your clinical capabilities, it requires a lot of introspective look at yourself. It is hard. It is sometimes being tough. It is hard to be objective and not be subjective because we have emotions. You'll easily, I hear this one all the time. Well, I don't like root canals. Well, either did I, but I like surviving. So So I didn't like blood. And now I do complex surgeries is most of what I do. Sometimes we have to take an objective look at our clinical capabilities. And it can't be, when you're doing these exercises, it can't be what I like to do. It's what do I need to do? And then if there's enough things on the list, I'll choose the ones I like. So if there's five things on the list that I can add to my office, obviously I'm going to choose the ones I like. But if there's one thing on the list, I'm going to learn how to do it as long as I can do it competently. Okay, or I would say with excellence. I mean, I don't think just being competent is good enough. My definition of competence is being pretty darn good at it. So you got to look at your clinical capabilities, you know, sedation, endo, extraction, graft, implants, cosmetic dentistry. Not just do you offer those services, are you offering them in a modern way? In a, you know, modern means digital at this point in time. You have to really look at those things and identify the gap with that. And then the third thing is look at your patient flow. And this one is really, it can be complicated, okay? But it's not. It's you got to look at, I look at patient flow in kind of three ways. How many new patients am I getting that want to establish themselves with a dental home? How many new comprehensive exams am I getting each month? How many new patient limited exams am I getting each month? And how many new patient consultations am I getting each month? So that's kind of the three areas where I'm going to look at patient flow. And if you say, and what I see with most offices is they're doing mostly fine in the new patient comprehensive exams. They're
blocking enough.
Yeah, they're blocking enough. And what I would say there, if you're blocking and achieving enough, then I would say you're not triaging well enough. It's amazing the stuff I hear on my coaching calls. I had a dentist, they said, you know, I'm going to spend money marketing. I said, great. I said, what did you tell your marketing company? I told them I want 20 to 25 new patients a month. I said, no problem. I'm going to send you 20 to 25 Merediths who are young families with kids that need no dentistry. He goes, well, that doesn't work. I go, well, you told your marketing company you need 20 to 25 new patients. And so part of this, again, part of professionalizing is looking at these things and being more specific. What kind of new patients do I want? So if you have 30 new patient blocks and you're easily filling them, then what I would tell you is start triaging a little bit better to what kind of patients do you want, okay? And so that's there. Most people aren't tracking the number of limited exams they're doing, limited new patients they're getting in their practice. So I'd say step one is kind of track that number. And I think limited exams are a great way to market your practice. It's a great service to provide. It's a great practice builder. In that most of those patients, one, they don't have a dentist. Two, they're looking to get something done. They're usually in pain of some sort. And you can do extraction, graft, tooth replacement. You can do endo. You can do endo crown. You can do crowns because the tooth's broken. That's typically what we see with that. Okay. And then your consultations. And this is an area where most practices don't bring in a lot of consultations. They're like, well, I'm not a specialist. I don't get people referred to me. I go, well, there are internal referrals that come in for consultations. There are marketing that you do that bring patients in for specific, niche type services. So that's kind of reverse engineering.
And nowadays on social media, there is people literally asking all day long, every day, does anyone go to a dentist they like? I need a root canal. Yeah. I need an implant. Hey, my dentist told me I need four crowns. Does anyone have a dentist that they love? I mean, all day long. Yeah. So if you have a good network of current patients, you know, we love to tell our patients, we would love more patients like you.
Yeah. And so you got to have signs up in your office that, hey, you know.
Maybe you don't like patients refer like us. Me, hey, so you won't like my friends.
You could just tell people, sing our praises. We'd love it to sing our praises. You know, just tell people what you want. And if you're uncomfortable telling people what you want, put up a sign. Let the sign do the talking.
Yeah. Tell your friends about us.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of to wrap things up.
Yeah. Okay. Hopefully that, I think that was a great way for if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling a little unmotivated, to kind of crunch some numbers. I think seeing the numbers will help motivate you to kind of make that next step forward.
Yeah, basically that's it. You know, for me, when I'm unsure, I look at the numbers. The numbers tell me a story.
The reality.
The story.
Unfortunately,
the story.
Sometimes.
Then the way I'm wired is I try to figure out a way, how do I fix that? You know, here's the reality is I have to fix this every year. It's not like I fix it once. You know, people make more, people change. You know, my needs change. all kinds of things. So it's a never ending.
Needs change.
Yeah, it's never ending. I want to constantly grow. And, you know, if you're a podcast listener, if you're part of the 3D Dentist family. And by the way, speaking of 3D Dentist family, are you on our app yet?
Yeah.
3D Dentist Pro, hop on your Android or your Apple phone.
Hopefully just your iPhone.
Yeah, but they work on both. Okay. Go to your app store and search 3D Dentist and then join our app. It's totally free. You just go on. It just costs you your email address to register. And basically, it's a community where we focus with dentists like yours, like that love the dental professionals who love this podcast, who are motivated, who want to, you know, just want to get to a place where you can get questions, you can get honest, trusted advice, honest, trusted people that will help you grow your practice so you don't feel like you're on an island anymore. Okay. So we'd love to have you join. We're over almost 500 members now. Almost 600 members.
Growing fast.
So I would love for you to join. I'd love to try to hit that 1,000 number by the end of 2024. So if you could help us do that, that would be amazing. And so let's kind of go from there. So kind of to kind of button up today's conversation, number one, thank you for listening. Number two, sing our praises for the podcast. Let people know is if you're feeling stuck, you got a little lack of motivation, you're overwhelmed, you're like, you don't even know where to start, identify the gap. Identify a top-line revenue gap, a bottom-line income gap. Okay, what should you be doing? Okay, let's close that gap. When you identify the gap, remember it's baby steps, small bites, one bite at a time. Okay, and once you identify that gap, be very objective and critical but kind to yourself in my team abilities, my clinical capabilities, and my patient flow. And this will be an amazing place to start to kind of get everything together for your practice. Meredith, anything from you?
No, I think that was a good start. Good
no sales pitch for 3D right dentists, direction. Nothing?
Well, we'd love to have everyone. Our live patient programs are filling up for 2025.
We have dates, right?
Require a little bit of planning. Yeah, all the dates are on the website.
Amazing.
Isn't that nice for you to know?
It's a summit in May.
Yeah, join us for our summit in May for...
Mastermind in July.
Yeah, Mastermind in July. Few availabilities left. That's filling
up.
And
then smile design is going to be a big focus for 2025.
Yeah.
I think sleep apnea is getting ready to make a comeback now that the Apple Watch will kind of help people with, helping...
Good for awareness.
Detecting sleep apnea, not diagnosing it,
right,
but making them aware. So I think awareness, sleep apnea will come make a nice comeback in awareness in our practices.
I think my Aura Ring does that too. I lost it, but I think it did.
Meredith, how can your ring do that if you've lost it? That means it did that. It doesn't do that.
Not for me. It does it for other people.
With all that being said, God help us. She turned blonde at the end of the episode.
I didn't.
Everybody have an amazing day. We'll see you guys next week.